Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Everton Holligan writes, Peter, as a young candidate disgusted by the status quo, you misrepresent most of us, and you do a significant disservice to young progressive thinkers of this country. You keep back our country with spewing your hate for other organizations you don't see as part of the two-party political system and the way forward. Encouraging more people to be involved in their democracy should be the way forward. Interview them to assess their integrity, but your approach should not be allowed in the media as it is destructive and toxic to the future progressive thinkers and leaders. I think that there are over 100,000 people in Barbados that agree with me and a few thousand that agree with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Bickham.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Now, I have a couple things to say. And I wish you would give me the courtesy of letting me say it.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to take you back, far back.
This is Mark?
You just, oh, okay. You don't mind who it is. You just articulated an idea, or propagated an idea, or an opinion that you have, that the money that people should pay as a deposit should be increased.
Yes.
So that it discourages people from participating.
It discourages nuisance candidates.
Okay, you discourage nuisance candidates.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you back to Barbados before the black person had a vote.
Mm-hmm. I figured that you would
I'll take you
about
back
that.
To Barbados.
Property where qualification.
Only where only people who had money
right.
were able to aspire to be representatives of the people.
Mm-hmm.
What you are saying or implying in this particular statement of yours is that only certain people should be allowed to participate in our elections.
That's not what I'm saying.
And I think that you need to apologize to the people
Sir,
of Barbados
that is not what
for
I'm
that
saying.
Attitude.
That's not what
okay.
I'm saying.
Let me finish saying what I'm saying, and I ask you to give me the courtesy of saying. Now, there's a thing in psychology called reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Pavlov's theory is one of those where you reinforce. Now, I'm going to take you back to the election of Erskine Sandiford, and I'm going to take you back to the events that resulted in his losing the election and the Democratic Party being reduced to 2 seats. Okay? There was negativity that was spread from the very beginning about Erskine Sandiford's proposals, the 8% cut, etc., etc., etc. The Democratic Party was reduced to 2 seats. They persisted in the next election. They got 5 seats. McLeod Maskell taking over. Then in the election following, they got 7 seats. David Thompson, who had resigned, came back in the following election, the election of 2008. And if people remember the political campaign that took place, that David Thompson eventually won, if they can remember the negativity that was spread around David Thompson, because at that time, the whole Clico issue came up. And if people can remember the vituperative statements that were made on the political platforms that was reinforced constantly. David Thompson won the election, and then he took 6. From then on, the negativity against the DLP still continued because you had a lot of Barbados Labour Party supporters who were disappointed.
Sir, let me just ask you what this has to do with the deposit. Because
we don't have a lot of time.
We need to get down to business.
I know we don't have time.
So just get to the point. What does this have to do with the deposit?
I didn't say it had anything to do with the deposit. I said
no, but was what we were talking about.
No, Peter, you have a way of trying
Sir,
to...
Sir, we are on 8 minutes. Up to now, you haven't gotten to the point.
You don't know what point I'm getting at.
But the point is that you might get to 10 minutes and you won't get to the
you
point.
You don't mind my 10 minutes. They're my 10 minutes, not yours.
All right, so let's move on quickly.
Because this is the way that you have of distracting.
But I'm not distracting anything. I'm just saying let's make a point. You said to me you have difficulties with my comment on the deposit, and I want you to speak to that, sir, if you can.
No, I didn't say that. Okay,
you're taking me on this historical journey, telling me things I know already.
I'm talking about this present election that was just lost 30-0. Mm-hmm. And I'm pointing out why it was lost.
Right. So and why I'm was it lost,
out,
sir?
I'm pointing out the psychological events that led to that loss, because from the time in 2008 that David Thompson died, that David Thompson took over, and when he died 2 years later and Mr. Stewart was elected as Prime Minister, you have adopted a negative attitude towards so the leadership.
I am
and
responsible.
The party
I am responsible for
yes,
for Mr.
Because
Stewart.
With eight,
I am responsible for the 30-love victory.
From 2008 until now.
Sir, I am responsible for the 30-love situation?
Yes, to a certain extent, because I'm pointing out.
I am that powerful?
I am pointing out to you that the negative psychological effect of constant reinforcement of the negativity surrounding it would have subliminally caused right. the people to have an attitude
and you know,
of
and
negativity.
You know what I am hoping that this last result demonstrated, sir, to people like yourself that continue to repeat this nonsense? That
what
the 2013 election, the 2013 election was not about Peter Wickham. The 2013 election was about the fact that the Democratic Labour Party spent more time in the last 5 years complaining about the fact that they were being criticized by me without using the opportunity to demonstrate what exactly they were doing that was so good. I saw an election campaign in which the Democratic Labour Party mounted platform after platform, and they felt that it was enough to criticize the Barbados Labour Party without offering a defense. So I'm saying, instead of saying to me, you should not be saying what is bad about Frandell Stewart, I think that you should use the time to tell us what was good about Frandell Stewart. What did Frandell Stewart positively achieve in the 7 years and 7 months that he was Prime Minister? Tell us that instead. Because to me right now, this whole question of you're trying to explain, that is moot. The reality is that he lost, full stop. He has been recorded in history as one of the worst prime ministers in the Commonwealth, full stop. So tell me what is wrong and how can you change that, as opposed to telling me now that I am wrong to think that. What has he achieved positively over the last 7 years and 7 months that we can speak to, sir? Tell me.
You want me to tell you?
Please do.
Well, if I can, in order for me to tell you, you got to shut up. And not interrupt.
All right, sir. Well, you have about beyond 11 minutes now, so I give you a minute to say what you have to say, and then we're going to run. So go right ahead,
it is
sir.
It's not for you to give me a minute.
I will not interrupt.
It's for Dennis to give me a minute.
All right.
Not you. Right? And what I'm telling you is that for 10 years, every single week, you came on and criticized the leadership, not only just criticized, okay, negatively influenced people against the leadership of the party. Now, the Democratic Labour Party was formed out of a group of discontents with the situation, and they built up to become a party that has lasted 65 years. There's an opportunity for the Democratic Labour Party now to reform, to give younger people the reins of power within the party, for them to bring their own suggestions and so on, because the same thing has happened in the Barbados Labour Party. And if they have reached this level, the Democratic Labour Party will reach the level again. We don't need to have any recriminations. We don't have any more talks about what Mr. Short did or should not have done. Whatever has done has gone past.
All right, no problem. Thanks a lot, sir. It was good chatting with you. This deposit suggestion, I mean, this gentleman's idea that I'm trying to get back to the days where only privileged few could buy, that's rubbish. Listen, if you read a simple definition in Wikipedia, and I remember I was taught about this in politics by no less a person than Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford, former Prime Minister Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford. And the point is made here that the purpose of the deposit is to reduce the prevalence of fringe candidates or parties with no realistic chance of winning a seat. If the candidate does not achieve a certain threshold, then the deposit is forfeited. When Mr. Sandiford, when Sir Lloyd taught me politics at the community college, and we asked what was the benefit of a deposit, he made the point that's very similar to this. The idea of a deposit is to discourage every and anyone with an unrealistic chance of coming and getting a name on the ballot paper. So you want serious candidates that have a serious intention, and that's the intention of the deposit. There is a school of thought in the United Kingdom that we have come to the stage now where you should eliminate the deposit altogether and let all ideas contend and let all people come on board for free, right? My opinion, what we have now in Barbados is akin to having no deposit, because $250 is essentially the minimum wage for a week's work for some people, but ultimately it is nothing prohibitive. So my situation is this. If we can have a national conversation about the benefit of a deposit, and we agree that there is no logic to having any deterrent effect in terms of the sum of money, then let's eliminate it. Because then you save having to collect it and return it and whatnot. Anyone who can muster, let's say, 25 or 30 names can get their name on the ballot paper. That's another way of doing it. If, however, the deposit is deemed to be the basis on which you vet serious from non-serious candidates with prospects of winning, $250 is not cracking it. And I was making the point that if you look at reference to Natalie, I am sure, based on what I know, that had the deposit been $2,500, she would have been able to raise it quite easily, because it's not only the individual, but in terms of people that support them. And if you look at what happens in the United Kingdom, anytime a candidate comes forward, it's always a question of who can you turn to raise money. If people believe in your cause and think that it is a cause that is deserving of support, the person will get support. And it's as simple as that. When you see Natalie's return, I am sure you're going to see a significant amount of money was raised, because a lot of people contributed to her campaign because they felt that she was deserving of support in terms of what she was trying to do. So it is not said in an attempt to be snotty and to say that, look, I only feel certain people should be in politics. No, I think anyone has a right to get involved in politics. But I also believe that if we are going to maintain a deposit as the basis on which we determine seriousness, then it has to be more money. If we agree that there is no basis for using that, and we're going to instead use as a measure your ability to identify 50 people in the constituency that will support you, then we remove deposit altogether and we shift it to that. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Not bad, sir. This is Caroline Scanterbury, outpatient in psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. I want to congratulate Miss Mia Mortley on her win in the last election, and may God bless her and her new government.
Okay.
I can remember Mr. Keith Vick, he was on the air yesterday, and he said long time ago, about 2 or 3 years, that the first Prime Minister in Barbados will be Miss Mia Mortley. He said that yesterday, and I remember hearing him 2 years ago saying it. I would just like to quote from hymn 135, Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Now is the victor's triumph won. Oh, let the sound of praise be sung. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May God bless this new government and also my representative, Miss Sandra Husband. God bless her going and coming. May God guide this government that it would hide nothing from us. As it is doing right now, it's telling us up front what's going on.
Okay. Amen and amen. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Had a call from Ms. Foundation off the air, and she wants to convey her personal congratulations to the government and people of Barbados, and specifically to Ms. Mia Mortley, Prime Minister Mia Mortley. Congratulations from Ms. Foundation, my good friend. My other good friend, Ms. Undecided. I haven't heard from her in a while, and I long to conversate with her in this forum. So, Ms. Decided, if you're out there, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Please don't give me up. Also want to hear from the Trinidadian lady. She doesn't call me anymore. She seems to like to call Dennis, since they have a similar heritage. But I'd love to have a conversation with her, too. And I think a lot of people will be interested in hearing interaction. Mrs. Straker Stenentry, where are you? People are waiting. They want to hear about the polls. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in there.
Good, good.
I first want to endorse your opening remarks.
Thank you.
And the bottom line is about the election, apart from the work that had started some 3 years ago by Miss Mortley and her team. You know, the rubbing shoulders, mm-hmm. getting to meet with people and so on. And then how she went about her work on the platform over the island, and she became, I was telling people that she has become the most popular political leader in Barbados, and it was all about leadership, you know, because when you look at the results, you will see clearly The people didn't want Mr. Stewart to be prime minister anymore, or the devil. Because the people were saying that the DLP government is the worst we've ever had. That's what people, ordinary people, were saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So the choice was, no matter where you live in Barbados, you were voting for Mia Motley.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they were voting for. But not only that, the programs that the Barbados Labour Party brought to the people, the issues. You know that, and me and Mr. Nasser, we were at the Boxers Road meeting, and he said to me that the DLP campaign collapsed. And they had, from since last year, wanted to, you remember when Allen talked about morality, and Pilgrim dealt with the same thing too,
mm-hmm.
George Pilgrim, that their aim was to go after Miss Mia Motley. And I heard her saying, Sandy, she didn't play the ball outside the off-stump. I don't know if you remember that. They were trying to bait her. That's what they were trying to do. Even the last minute on Facebook, one man was asking her a question. And what we did is ask him a question. You know, he could not answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the person who you heard about Honest Abe, Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to say to people at a meeting that we should call Bishop Joseph Attlee Honest Joe. See, these people really believe. You were saying that maybe somebody that was good lost in the DLP. But once they were part of the government, they had to go. Mm-hmm. They caused too much pain on the people they supported. They don't mind what the Eswick said, and the gentleman from down in St. James South. But every time they go and vote, they said one thing, but the vote ensured that they were in solidarity with what the government was doing to the people of this country.
Right.
And Mr. Stewart said he gonna make history. That's what history is for. And all I've been saying all the time is that the people would make history too.
Yep.
And that is exactly what the people did. Because you could imagine that a party like the Democratic Labour Party only went 2 boxes.
In the whole country.
And barely went them.
In the whole country.
In the whole country, yeah. They went 2 boxes in St. John. Yeah. And barely went the 2 boxes. Right, yeah. But that is the
You know what you said that struck a chord of interest with me is this whole idea of the campaign, an assessment of the two campaigns, and you look at one versus the other. You said that a wheel drop off of the campaign. This is how we would colloquially refer to it. But my opinion is that the campaign started on 3 wheels, not 4.
Oh,
so I don't know that it ever really got started. And I had a conversation, and I wouldn't say with whom, but one of the senior politicians in the region during the course of the campaign. And the main concern was, you know, this guy was saying to me, Peter, there is some serious concern regionally that these guys are looking to thief the election. And I said, I think that there's serious concern locally that something is up. And I agree. Because speaking to people, when you got past the Owen Arthur attacks, when you're coming into the home stretch of the Democratic Labour Party campaign, when Prime Minister Fernando Stewart mentioned that CCJ thing, I think that many of us were convinced that there had to be something more that was coming. Some plan that the Democratic Labour Party had, a secret plan that was going to win this election campaign. After the lateness, after the false start, after the restart, after the Owen Arthur attack, it's like there has to be something that they are bringing, because the illogic of the campaign, it was profound. It was a bad campaign. It was ill-conceived. It was poorly executed. And I think on every single turn, it was a bad campaign. I have not seen a campaign across this region that was as bad as that. Even the campaign that Tillman Thomas launched in Grenada that he lost wasn't as bad as this one. And my question is, how could the Democratic Labour Party, an organization that is as old as it is, with luminaries in it that know about politics, come up with a campaign like that and expect it to win? You're basing your campaign on personal attacks on an individual and the kind of nastiness that was thrown around on platforms. And believe that it would not offend people, well, you must think that you're foolish.
But the wasted time and now they would pay in the courts because it is said that some people's character were assassinated.
I mean, that will be dealt with later. But I think the question that we have to ask, though, is how is it that the DLP could run such a poor campaign and not realize that it wouldn't resonate? Because I, for one, must tell you, when I saw the confusion election day, I said, well, then this explains it. This explains that something going on, you know? But clearly, it wasn't, I guess it was basically just incompetence. I don't think that there was anything more than that election day. And the challenge that we have is trying to understand, you know, what exactly were they thinking?
But you know, Peter, my Trinidad political friends, they were also giving their opinion on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And Herbert Volney
said that the BLP would have won between 22 to 26 seats.
Mm-hmm.
My other friend, Donna Cox, she is now in the Consul General in New York,
mm-hmm.
and there are two Donna Cox, but this is Donna Cox from Trinidad, from mm-hmm. Laventil, Trinidad, because mm-hmm. we got a Bajan Donna Cox up there, too. And she had sent her congratulations to our new prime minister,
mm-hmm.
and she probably would be in Barbados, because she likes coming to Barbados, too. But all in all, this is what's going to happen. And like I told you in a message, it's going to take about 20, 25 years for the Democratic Labour Party to build back. Because they don't have the kind of people they had years ago that would keep a party going. They got people that they lost and they're running away.
There's a route back, though. I don't know if I agree with you. I think that may become the reality. And certainly as I read a lot of the comments I'm seeing here from people, and I listened to the call I had earlier, that it's very possible that you're right, that it's going to take that long, because the longer it takes for people to come to an understanding, a Christian understanding no less, regarding what happened, the longer it's going to take for them to rebuild. But I believe that there's a way back. If all of those individuals now who were in the forefront decide we are going to support young, bright, enthusiastic Dems to come to the fore and fulfill the legacy and the mission of El Barro, who are prepared to say to the public of Barbados, we fell short, we made a mistake, and it is our role now to get back to where we were. I think that the route back can be a lot faster. That's my feeling. I feel the route can be a lot faster. But if you continue pressing this point, that the only reason you lost is because of the economic choices that you made, which is essentially what the Prime Minister said, which completely ignores the obvious reality, the elephant standing in the room, that he is probably the biggest contributor. You ain't going to get nowhere. Anyhow, final word from you, sir. We got to run.
All right, take care.
Bye. Good. Okay, all right. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay, Peter.
Hi, morning.
Peter?
Yeah, morning.
Yeah, morning.
How are you going?
Now, listen, mm-hmm. I'm fine, thank you. I'm pretty good. Mm-hmm. Now, you're missing some other history that was created during this election, too, you know.
What was that?
You're forgetting that this is the first time in elective politics that a candidate from either one of the two parties did not receive one single vote in a box. So Irene Gannon also create history as well.
Well, you don't laugh, my girl, though.
Not one single vote.
Yeah. What was it, A1? What was the box?
Something sort of George Gatt was a...
But that is that was the infamous Orange Hill box, no?
Yeah, not one single
man,
vote.
People so unfair also, Irene, man.
She also create history as well.
Is it not one?
Not one single vote. Now, Peter, you all misunderstand what you were saying or could not even understand, sorry, I should say, what I was telling you all along about Don Villeneuve. What you said about Don Villeneuve just now is exactly what he was saying on previous occasions when he called this program. He was blowing hot and cold. And up to this day, Peter, Don Villeneuve still owed the country the report that he had promised us concerning the customs as far as the illegal importation of chicken wings in this country are concerned. So I'm still awaiting that report from
him. Don't pass chicken wings,
though. No, no, no. You see, that's the reason why my campaign will not stop. My campaign continue for the time.
Sir, come off it, man.
Peter, listen to me. I don't intend to give no quarter to this Democrat Labour Party.
But, sir, they got beaten. And
I know, but I'm saying
one more you want?
I am saying to you, I don't want to see not one Lord members who lose the seat climbing the steps of Parliament again.
Which is fine, and I mean, and that's been said, but I think the severity of the defeat suggests that that's not an attractive option. But, I mean, to go back to chicken wings, no.
No, Peter, I'm not easing them. That's my thing. That's my portfolio. I am not going to ease them because they do a lot of wrong to this country.
So, and I think that's why they have been defeated so soundly.
Right. And I must constantly remind the people of Barbados about the wrong that they has done to this country. That's why we're in this position today, Peter.
You know, sir, I am a person. You know, I'm a Bible man and I'm a believer. Right, but I always find that we miss the benefit of the New Testament when we focus on the Old Testament and the retribution. The New Testament teaches turn the other cheek.
But not this guy here. Let me tell you, I going to count.
You're turning the cheek.
I going to be relentless on this Democratic Labour Party because it has destroyed my Barbados that I has loved so much.
They've done some pretty heavy damage.
I mean, Motley got a task on her. I don't know how she can get it handled. So yeah,
she had a strong constitution.
Right, so you don't expect me to ease this Democrat Labour Party for the damage they do to this country, Peter? Mm-hmm. I am going to continue my campaign. As I said, it begins from the day after the election. And I will continue to remind the people of Barbados about the damage that they have caused this country and the people of Barbados.
The box is AE1 Orange Hill. And somebody here tells me that it was a slaughter.
Right. So Peter, it humiliate the average person in this country, even when you think about yourself, of course. Yeah. Peter, how could we forget this administration?
But sir, I have had anxious moments recently where I'm speaking to people and I'm saying, I'm embarrassed, quite frankly, that I'm saying to people, you come to Barbados and there's raw sewage flowing on the street. I'm embarrassed. I have been embarrassed about the manner in which the Democratic Labour Party has handled their affairs for a long time. But I've said it on the air. It's no secret. But the point is that we have to come to a stage where we accept that the election result was a reflection of the fact that it isn't only me or you that are embarrassed. A lot of people were embarrassed. So the point now is, while I am anxious to analyze the outcome, I also believe that there has to be a point at which we stop. And my thing is that I don't know if we need to go on these crusades to investigate chicken wings and all them kind of things. I don't know. Anyhow, final word for you. We had a run, sir. We had to take a message.